Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Let's get underway.
Saturdays were made for this. The biggest names and the biggest games right here.
Triple M rocks the NRL.
Thanks to our mates at King G. Welcome to the Triple M Saturday Scrum.
Lovely to have your company on this Saturday afternoon. Plenty to get to. Kevin Walters, the Broncos coach, will join us in roughly a half an hour. Good enough to join the program. Despite that loss, which he was very upset about, obviously, last night, I think it's the worst start for the Broncos in something like 22 years. So it's a tough time for Kevy, but he's a good man and he's good enough to join us. So that's in half an hour. Right now, though, it's time for this.
Reedy's Mail.
Brent Reed, as I live and breathe. Now, I understand Mitch Moses. Now, he was okay up there in Darwin with a big win for the Eels. What's his future looking like?
Yeah, look, we spoke about him earlier in the Broncos potentially having a go at him. Now, it's been bubbling along, simmering with Parramatta for quite some time. Now, he's got an option he's got to take up by round 10 for next year. Parramatta initially offered him another year on top of that. So, effectively, I guess a one-year extension would have taken him through to the end of 23. He basically sat on that offer. I don't think they were overly happy with it, his camp. I believe they've subsequently come back with another year on top of that. So that would take him through to the end of 24. So the option next year, two more years on top of that. I've got a feeling he won't take it up. I've got a feeling he won't take the offer. Now, whether he takes up the option's another matter. It probably depends on what sort of offers he gets from elsewhere. Cronulla are looking at him. Brisbane are looking at him. You know, he's got that option in his back pocket. If he takes that up, that would mean he's off contract at the end of next year, which would make him the ideal guy for a new franchise, one of the new Brisbane franchise. So, as I said, he's got 3 weeks, I think, now, round 10 to make a decision on the option. My feeling is he won't take up the contract extension for Parramatta. He'll go to market. He'll look around. Mm. When he gets everything laid out in front of him, he'll make a decision on what he does about the option and next year. But
where do you like him being?
I'm the Broncos, he's my priority. I'd throw a four-year deal, $3.5 million at him. Because, look, I understand Adam Reynolds is obviously on their radar and but Adam's 31, I think, this year, and as much as he would be ideal for the place, I just think Mitch is more of a long-term investment. The other guy they're going to look at, Sean Johnson, my gut feel is that the Sharks will keep Sean Johnson and try and pair him with Adam Reynolds in the halves next year. So for me, Mitch, if I'm Brisbane, I'd go hard for Mitchell Moses. I just think he's a long, you know, behind that forward pack, he's a guy you can build the club around for the next three or four years. But, you know, I'm not sure what he'll do. I don't know. I don't think he knows right now
where that leave Nathan Brown at the Eels?
Well, look, so what happened with Nathan Brown was he got a contract offer from Parramatta. It was 2 years, about $1.2 million, which was effectively a pay rise because he's on 620, but the salary cap's gone down because of the COVID stuff. Yeah. So it was effectively a pay rise. He waited on that deal, sat on it, his management group sat on that offer. So Parramatta basically pulled it off the table. Now, they pulled it off the table on the understanding that if Nathan came back to them, the offer would go back on the table. Talks would resume. So that's the situation with him at the moment. I'm not sure he's got any other options. Mm. And I think at some point soon, they'll do a deal with Parramatta and Nathan will stay at Parramatta.
All right.
Well, the best thing about what Moses is doing and Brown, if they're off contract, their stocks are rising. Because they're digging in. You wouldn't know that any contractual disagreements or agreements are affecting their play. And that's the best thing you can do. Just walk the walk and talk the talk, and they're both doing it.
And it's a halves market right now. Like, everyone wants a playmaker, right? And there's so many of them available, but there's only really, I would say, three really elite ones, which is Reynolds, Johnson, and Mitch.
And it's a big decision for Mitchell as well. We spoke about his form earlier on, Tone, and the fact that at the moment he shares a lot of the responsibility with a really good roster.
Yep.
Now, if he puts himself back in the position, and he's been there before and he knows how hard it is to try and rebuild a club and go to a club like the Broncos and not have a lot of help around play in some of those key areas, it might be a tough way to earn an extra $150,000 a year. Sometimes, you know, where you are at the moment, if you've got, you know, confidence in the club and the players that you're playing with, and you're having a good time and their success there, and you think that potentially you could get a premiership, there's value in that as well. A lot of value in that.
Yeah,
especially, how old is he now, 26, 27?
Yeah, he's about that. But there's also a lot of value in being the face of the Broncos. And if you can be the face of...
Well, it depends on what you're the face of.
Dollar value, are you? You're talking about in terms of the experience and the win. And
Payne Haas is the face of the Broncos at the moment. How much fun's he having?
Not a lot.
I think what they need, the Broncos, they need like a Blake Austin or a Widdup or a Josh Reynolds back there as number six, just to have some experience. At the moment, they've... I know we're getting a bit off track here talking about the Broncos, but I just, at the moment, they're a ship without a rudder. They just seem to be, they need someone with experience at number six jersey. You know, I know that Katoni Staggs has still got 5 or 6 weeks to come back, and he'll probably go into number six, but they just seem to lack so much experience. It just, it's evident on the footy field, where Penrith are younger than them, and they look like they're 10 years older on the field.
And you need to think about the mentality of the halves as well. And Mitchell's, you know, in the past we've seen, and he's definitely maturing, but, you know, the Broncos need someone that's not going to get frustrated, you know, that's not going to get angry, that he's just going to go about their business, is going to hold people accountable. And you can only do that as a half if you're the guy that's getting your game in order on a weekly basis, making your tackles, doing the kicks. And, yeah, it's a specific sort of player that they need, the Broncos, and I'm not sure at the moment there's anyone in the market that ticks those boxes.
Well, it's interesting you mentioned experience, MG, and because Carmichael Hunt, if things go to plan, he will be back at Broncos training on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
So they've lodged the documents with the NRL because of his background and some issues he had when he was in rugby.
Yep.
It just needs to be rubber stamped by the NRL, but I expect it will be. Now, it's a train and trial contract, which means he can't play until round 11. As it stands right now, there's a chance if they can find a way they can get him into their top 30, but it won't happen immediately. But he will be back at Broncos training if everything goes to plan on Monday, Carmichael Hunt. So it'll be a great story for the club because, you know, Carmichael debuted there as a 17-year-old from memory. He's been everywhere. He played AFL, played rugby, and he's become a real leader. I mean, we've seen him speak a lot lately about what his role and how he sees it.
He's exactly what they need.
They need someone like him.
And then you can partner up with someone with a little bit less experience, but knowing that Carmichael's going to hold the values in place for the team on a regular basis.
Is he exactly what they need after not playing league since 2009? Like, it's not like he's been playing in the English Super League or... I don't know.
They need a bit of a personality, MG. You know, they need that.
I know they need a bit of character. Exactly, and that's why I kind of went down the other line of the guys playing in Super League. I know he'd be great for the club, just for the mere fact that he's been there and done it. He's been down, he's been up. I don't know about his ability, how that's gone over the last 11 years without playing in the NRL, which the NRL's changed a hell of a lot since he last played.
Yeah.
A lot.
Reedy, just one for me without notice. Now, MG mentioned Katoni Staggs. Now, of course, there was the allegation of unwanted advances towards a woman. No police involved in any of this, but I think she wanted an apology.
Yeah.
But is the NRL Integrity Unit looking into that as well or not?
Well, they are because they've got concerns. Andrew Abdo's had concerns with Katoni for a long time now. I did a story back in February where Andrew wanted to sit down with Katoni and he'd had that issue in the off-season. And Andrew made it very clear that unless Katoni changed his behaviour off the field, he wouldn't be allowed back in the NRL. So, you know, he had to go away and do some courses, some alcohol courses and some other courses. And before he's allowed to play again in the NRL, he needs to show Andrew that he's changed and that he's done those courses. So I think the plan was for that to happen the next few weeks. Now, I would imagine, given what's happened now, Andrew's going to really want to see some evidence that he's changed. And he's got a big job to actually, even when he gets back from that knee problem, he's got a big job to prove to the NRL that he's ready to be an NRL player again because they've got real genuine concerns about Katoni Staggs and his future in the game.
Did that have something to do with the fact that the Gold Coast actually pulled their offer?
Well, the Gold Coast offer's interesting, Gerds, because I spoke to people there on Friday, and it's one of those, it's a bit like the Nathan Brown one. They said to Katoni in his camp, we're pulling the offer, but if Katoni generally is interested in coming to the Gold Coast, then we're willing to talk to you again. Now, that may have changed given what came out late last week, but yes, they pulled the offer, but it was one of those nudge, wink, wink pulls where they pull the offer, but go, if you're keen, we'll come back to the table.
Best kind.
Well, didn't the Eels pull their interest in Katoni as well?
Well, they did. Yeah, I think they did after obviously what came out late last week.
Yeah, indeed. All right, what about Craig Bellamy? He's going to the same school as Cameron Smith in terms of knowing when he's going to make a decision.
We're very close.
Are we?
I know I've said this before, but I think this decision will be a matter of days, not weeks now. I think the expectation is Craig will stay in Melbourne, coach for another year, and then sort of fade away into a background role. But I reckon this is really close. I talked to Melbourne people on Friday, and they expect the decision to be, they say the decision is imminent. I think Brisbane have basically given up hope of getting Craig. Cronulla is still in the mix, but I believe he will stay for one more year at the Storm.
Wouldn't you love to see bellyache up in the corporate area at a game, kicking things, throwing things around, throwing the buffet table over?
It'd be great.
Because that's what the executives would want to see.
Absolutely.
It's a big ticket
item.
It's
funny, right? Craig Fitzgibbon was down in Melbourne last week with the Roosters. Craig actually caught up with bellyache after the game, and they obviously had a chat about what's going on at the Sharks, and I suspect Craig actually said to him, mate, can you join me? And I think bellyache gave him no guarantees.
The Triple M Saturday Scrum for King G. Triple M rocks footy.
Brent Reed, Mark Guy, Ryan Girdler. My name is Tony Squires, and it's a great privilege to welcome to the show the Broncos coach, Kevin Walters. G'day, Kevy.
Good afternoon. How are you, gents?
Very well, thank you. What do you do on the a Saturday afternoon after it was 46 to 60? Just clear your head if you're out and about having a little bit of a walk. What's the process for you?
No, we're actually still up in Darwin, so we've just finished our review of the game last night, which took us a while to get through. And then we're on a flight about 2 o'clock this afternoon back home to Brizzy. So, yeah, it's a big day ahead.
Okay,
yeah.
Kevy, I guess last night probably was as a surprise for you as it was for the rest of us. You know, we saw the game against Penrith. We thought the standards had been set. And then last night, you had to be disappointed.
Oh, definitely disappointed. And the players are too, for that matter. You know, we made some really good progress against the Panthers. And we're in that up to our eyeballs. But, you know, the NRL, she's a tough old gig. And you've got to show up every week, particularly, you know, against, any team you're playing in Parramatta. Been in good touch as well, haven't they? They're a good, strong, solid unit that play consistent footy, which is where we're trying to get to.
Kevy, is this job bigger than you thought it was?
No, not at all. You know, it's always, you know, when a team finishes where it did, it's not fixed overnight, you know. So I understand when I, you know, took the role that it was a big job to take on, one, and two, that it's going to take some time to fix the problems at the Broncos. So, no, certainly not. I'm still, I love footy and I love working at the club. It's disappointing. There's lots of, you know, roadblocks in front of us at the moment, but we'll get there. Just got to, you know, stay on the track that we're on. And I've got no, it's very clear picture, you know, in my head of where we need to take this club.
You are Brisbane Broncos, Kevy. Winning five competitions with them. Last week, before the game against Panthers, you had a talk to your boys, your troops, before the game, and they acted accordingly. Last night, you had the jersey in your hand post-match, talking to the boys. What was said, if you can let us in on a little bit of what happened after the game last night with you and your boys?
Yeah, Andrew, certainly. Just a little bit of, you know, every club has its own sort of ideals and culture and the like. And I got a really strong, you know, feelings towards the Broncos and where all that stuff sits with us. And I just, you know, that last night, this wasn't the Broncos, and that's what I said to the players. I mean, the jersey, it's got to mean more than just running out in it. You know, that's what, the good clubs, I'll say the good clubs, the clubs that are doing well at the moment, they got pride in their jersey, mate. And the Panthers are a great example of that. You know, all those kids coming through the region, playing together, they got real pride in their community and in the jersey that they're playing for. That's lacking a bit at the moment at the Broncos.
One guy who you can't say that about is Payne Haas, who's observing Ramadan at the moment. He's a Herculean effort last night. If you had another three or four like him, you'd be happy.
Oh, I'd have 16 of them more of it. Like the three or four we'll take at the moment. Yeah, that's for sure. But yeah, he's been outstanding, mate. He missed the opening three rounds, of course, with his suspension from the game, and then he's come. He's been our best player every week. He's won all our awards and. Yeah, he's a pleasure to coach. He's a great fella and puts out on the field as well, which is, you know, disappointing in a lot of respects that a lot of guys don't support him in what he's doing in his endeavours, you know.
Lots of moving parts, Kevy, as an NRL coach, obviously, and lots going on away from the field as well for you guys, recruitment, retention, all those things. How do you feel the club's going in those areas?
Yeah, well, you know, that's what the opening sort of 10 rounds opening of the NRL Premiership was to, you know, to see where we're at as a club. We've come up against some strong opposition and we've found out where we're actually at, you know, as a club. So, we've got some work to do, certainly, around our roster and our recruitment. And obviously the next 2 or 3 weeks are going to be critical for us on, you know, we're trying to retain the services, you know, of Katoni Staggs. He's a big one for us at the moment. Once if we can lock him away, then we can move on to other subjects.
Where do you see him playing, Kevy? Where's the value in Katoni?
Well, when he comes back, he'll slot straight into the centre position, certainly. But, you know, he can play in the back row. He can play in the centres. He can play in the halves for us, I think. So, that's his versatility. And we'll sort that out with him once we get his signature.
Kevy, what about the halves? I mean, can you give us a straight answer? Adam Reynolds, Mitch Moses, Sean Johnson. Are you interested in all three, none of the three, two of the three, one of the three?
Well, everybody right now, when you're off a 46 hiding, everybody's of interest to us, aren't they? You know, but yeah, look, I'm confident that we can come up with the right people, you know, in our organisation to get the job done. We've got some halves there at the moment that are, like the rest of the team, struggling in different areas, which is, you know, all part of the learning process, you know, particularly for young Tommy Dearden. He's had a bit of a tough start to his career. But I'm sure that there are better days ahead for Tom and for Brody and for everyone in the club. We just got to, you know, get support around them, keep trying to get better with what we're doing with things. And obviously, you know, we like to try and promote from within if we can. But if we can't, well, we'll look outside the circle for sure.
So you'll look at all those guys, Kev?
Well, that'll be something that we talk about next week. We have had some minor discussions around, you know, next year or even this year in the roster. It's, as you know, in today's game, it's always changing and always moving. So we're no different. And your results, I guess, reflect that as well. So, yeah, we'll have a look, a tight look at our team early next week when we get together as a committee, and we'll have a look and see what's available and then move forward from there.
Great thing about it, being a Brisbane fan, a Broncos fan, is that you're always reading stories in the papers. They're everywhere. They're writ large, obviously. They're on Friday night footy most weeks. How is it travelling around? You know, Brisbane, obviously, you're in Darwin at the moment, but how are the people accepting what's going on with this season?
Oh, look, yeah, they've got to be patient. I mean, there's lots of noise, outside noise around the Broncos, and there always is, whether they're winning games or losing games. Yeah. So at the moment, we're losing, and that's a little bit more difficult to sort of cop. But I guess you got to toughen up and, you know, take a bit of the heat off the players as such. You know, I'm more than happy to absorb a lot of that heat, because I know there's a really clear picture in my head of where this club needs to get to, and we're not there yet, but we're making small steps to make sure that we do get there, you know, in the long run.
Kevy, we're about to do a break after we speak with you about the report card for all the new coaches who have been given roles this year. What would you give yourself as a report card thus far after seven rounds, mate?
Well, that's a tough one, MG. I mean, for me personally, I can see some small changes in the Broncos and how they're going. But if you look at the real picture on the ladder, well, we've won one from seven games. So all my report cards at school didn't read that great either, MG. So this one's not going to be any different, mate.
hey, Kev, I mentioned before Carmichael. Carmichael's expected to be Broncos training potentially on Monday. What's the idea behind bringing Carmichael back? I understand he'll be in a training trial and won't be able to play till round 11, but what's the idea of bringing him back?
Just bringing a bit of experience and a bit of sort of old Bronco, I guess, more than anything, you know, around his training and his preparation for games or for training, at training. All those things are important. You know, our younger halves can sort of learn off that as well. You know, he was a great Broncos player in his day. It was many years ago now, I know, but yeah, just his attitude around the group, and yeah, I'm sure he'll be a big assistance to us.
Darwin, how hot was it?
Oh, it was pretty good, actually. It was hot through the middle of the day, but then sort of the evenings cool off and the mornings aren't too bad. So yeah, it's been okay. The only thing that worried me was the scoreline last night. That's the biggest danger of Darwin.
Absolutely. Mm. And does Alfie still bring a smile to your face, though?
Oh, he's kicking cans as well this morning, because he's a big fan of the club too and wants everyone to do well. So yeah, it's a... Not so great this morning, but we get on the flight, get home, and get ready for the Titans on Friday night.
Well, mate, in those circumstances, we really appreciate you having a chat. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Kevin.
See you, mate.
Be kind. Report card.
We'll send you a copy.
We'll just add a plaster to it.
I love it. Thanks, Kevy. Appreciate it. Although the Knights turned up, MG, were you at a restaurant watching something else?
We call this game on Thursday night.
What did you make of the performance? Oh,
the man can't take his daughter out for her birthday, Tony. I mean, come on.
Yeah. Well, come on, he bagged Kevy about the report card.
Yeah, look, I think it was clinical from Penrith. Brian Tottle continues to astound with his meter readers. I thought Campbell Gillard, Fisher Harris was fantastic for them up front. Yeah, look, the Knights were good in times. They looked good in patches. They was a good arm wrestle. Probably the score doesn't indicate how close the game was. A 24-6 is a bit of a flogging, but they just, look, without a halfback, a recognised halfback, you know, Green's obviously, you know, still just coming back from injury, so he's not match fit. And they lacked a real good ball player. You know, I think Kurt Mann tried his guts out, but when you haven't got a recognised six or seven, it's very hard. That's, Mitchell Pearce's loss is a big one for them. And Kalen Ponga tried his heart out as well from fullback, but just in the end, Penrith had way too much class.
It was exactly that, wasn't it? They Newcastle tried, played pretty well, but Penrith were just too good.
Yeah, they just get click into gear and away they go. And they don't play to the scoreboard, and that's really what impressed me over the last couple of years. You know, with young sides, you know, they can blow you away, or they, you know, can get to different stages of the game where they look nervous and they look tentative and they lose games. Penrith, they just don't. They don't lose games. They always need to be beaten. And the Knights, unfortunately, just, you know, they were brave. Their goal line defence was really good, but they were just a couple of players short of creating opportunities on the back of momentum, like MG spoke about. Kalen Ponga, they're too reliant on what he does with the football. They just need to find other guys that can just create opportunities for the people around them in those crucial stages.
We decided after last week it was the best buys and their report cards for those. This is going to be the coaches, new coaches report cards, and there were a few of them this year. So I'm asking you, there's Todd Payton, obviously, Anthony Griffin, Nathan Brown, Kevvy Walters, who we just spoke to, and Trent Barrett at the Bulldogs. Let's begin as far north as we can go with Todd Payton.
Going to be first?
Yeah,
I'm going to give Todd a C. I think he's been, you know, pretty average, hasn't been outstanding, hasn't been shocking.
Is C a pass, though?
I think C's a pass.
C's a pass?
Yeah, I mean, okay. They're going through some change up there. Yep.
Wasn't in my world when I was at school, Gerds.
No.
Well, you're at high standards.
Totally unacceptable.
High standards for you, though, Tane. High standards for you. Yeah, I think he's about a C. I think he's doing a serviceable job, but, you know, could get better.
All right. You see improvement in him?
Well, the club I do, yeah. Okay. I mean, there's a lot going on up there, right? Yeah. They got a lot of player movement, a lot of contracts to juggle, and a lot of big decisions to make.
He came out swinging early.
He's shaken up a bit.
Yeah, well, I think you need to. I'll give him a C as well. I think you need to go, when you go into a place like that that struggled for a period of time, you need to make changes. Otherwise, you're just going to continue to do, you know, stay in the same rhythm as what you've been in. And obviously, Maguire's gone now, and so is Michael Morgan. So two big outs, two big personalities there, and some young halves who are still sort of finding their way. I'm just not sure about the initial call with the Taumalolo thing for mine. I think when you're new into an organisation, you kind of need to have a look around and see who's contributed to the success of that team for a certain period of time, which is Taumalolo has probably been their best player for the last 4 years. He's been one of the best forwards in the game for a long period of time, and his role for that club was always just to go out there and, you know, get as many metres as he could and carry the team on his back, which he did on numerous occasions. I'm just not sure whether getting, you know, pulled over hot coals because of poor defensive reads, surely he can improve. But then in public, I'm just not sure that went down so well with Jason, who we haven't seen since. And now there's even rumours that he's looking elsewhere. And I know that Reedy's come out and said that that's not happening, but it's still there. The rumours that you don't need in a club, especially with the guy that you're building that club around, and your relationship with him needs to be rock solid. So, yeah, I'll give him a C.
C. MG?
Yeah, so 5 out of 10. I think for the very same reasons Gerd said, I don't think he handled that the way he should have handled it. Of course, he's the new dog in the town. And, you know, he wanted to, you know, kick the dirt up and ruffle a few feathers and say, well, it's my way or the highway. And I think he could have done it just as effectively behind closed doors with Jason Taumalolo. I think it embarrassed him. And he hasn't been seen since. He's broken two hands at training. So we'll see when he comes back and plays, we'll see if he really wants to be there, because he'll be back to his wrecking ball self, or he might be a shadow of himself. Yeah. So we'll soon find out.
All right, Todd Payton, CC and 5 out of 10. We've got two systems working here already, which is terrific.
I just want to be different, mate. You know that.
I know. I love it. I love it, MG. What about Anthony Griffin at the Dragons? MG?
He's an 8 out of 10.
Yeah.
He's a minus. In other words, I think he's
of course. Of course.
Yeah, on my new metric table.
Eight out of ten.
Minus.
Okay. Spend that mind
C
you too.
Is a five.
C
Danny.
Is a five.
So you work the scale out for us, would you?
That's where we get the Trent Barrett. I think that all the rumblings out of the Dragons at the start of the year, you know, probably the most spoken about team in the off season, you know, McGuinness and why'd you get McCulloch and all the, you know, why is Ben Hunt captain and all these questions. And Hook Griffin just sat back and let it all unfold and he said, trust the process. And he's got them playing a simple brand of rugby league where they run hard, they tackle hard, and they don't make many mistakes. And it's a pleasure to watch them. I can't wait to watch them in this Anzac Day clash tomorrow against the Roosters. I think they're a big chance of upsetting the Roosters. But I love the way he's turned this team around. And yeah. Ben Hunt has been the biggest beneficiary. He'll come back sooner rather than later because he can't wait to get back in this team. He feels the vibe. He's trying to come back from a broken leg 2 weeks early just so he can play in this team. That's a big sign.
Love it. Love it.
A-plus for me, for Anthony Griffin, A-plus. Because A-plus, a lot of people had them winning the wooden spoon.
Yeah.
A lot of people had them winning the wooden spoon. And I thought they'd struggle, but I think he's done an amazing job. I think they've recruited as well as any club in the off-season in the way they've
got other people to pay for them.
Got other people to pay for their players, yeah. Yep. You know, manufactured a $11 million salary cap, and he's got them playing. He's got them playing for each other. He's got them playing for him, and A-plus for me. Can't get any better.
Yeah, love it.
Yeah, he's getting the best. I'll give him an A as well. Got the best out of the individuals there. Got guys playing in good positions. And what he's done with the salary cap in relation to Maguire, then he's also got McCulloch and he's also got Bird. You know, three of their most influential guys have been paid by other clubs. I mean, that's just genius, isn't it? So doing good things. And Ben Hunt, their skipper and highest paid player, hasn't been there for the last 3 or 4 weeks.
Yep.
And they're continually winning games, which says that the system that they've put in place is working as well. Doing a great job.
All right, Reedy, our mate Nathan Brown of the Warriors.
B plus for Nathan. I give him a B plus. Yep. I reckon they're unlucky not to win it against Manly a couple of weeks ago. They could have been 4-2. And I think he's doing a pretty good job there. Mm-hmm. You know, they've lost Adam Fanua Blake now and they didn't stop him winning the other day. So B plus for me.
Okay. MG?
7 out of 10. For me, so it's about
that's about a B.
That's about a B plus.
Oh, that's a B plus. You're on the MG.
Okay.
B plus.
All right.
Yeah, I think you know we've kind of take for granted what these guys have done for the last 14-15 months. Lived out of a suitcase. And even though they're in one of the best resorts in New South Wales up there at the Star of the Sea, it's still not home. It's still not. Hey, Bobby, the boss, if you're listening. I just want them to hurry up and go back to New Zealand because they're all in my unit. So I want to go up there and go have a holiday. Come on, boys. It's bubbles out there now. Isn't the bubble on? So can't they go back and play it? Well, when's that work? When they go back to New Zealand, Reedy?
Around 12, maybe. I think it is halfway through the year, I think.
And I think the NRL, as an act of good faith, should let them play 4 games in a row there. Okay. A whole month.
Good
a whole
shout.
Month at home.
All right, I'll give that then a 7.5+.
Yeah, I'm going to give Brownie a B plus as well for all the reasons that the boys mentioned. Been jumped a lot of hurdles and done a lot of really good things so far this year. I think the consistent way. I think they had one off week, but the consistent way that the Warriors on the back of I think some of the legacy that Todd Payton left, and then how Brownie's been able to pick that up and continue on in that way is just a good thing for the game and their fans and. I think they're doing good.
So all right.
I'd be plus.
While you're on that microphone, Gerds, we spoke to him just a moment ago. It's been a tough start for Kevvy Walters.
Gets tough.
He's in Darwin. He's listening on his mobile.
I'm going to have to hand him a D.
Wow.
We're going to get down there.
Wow.
It was always going to be a tough rebuild for Kevvy, but you need to look at the results. And I know there's a million things going on behind the scenes, and hopefully we start seeing some of the fruits of that. But at the
it's
moment,
not a must-try harder, it's though, is not it? Because he's trying.
At the end of the day, we're all judged by Ws, and at the moment he's got 1 from 7, so it can be nothing more from me than a D tone, sorry.
Okay, no, fair enough.
Did you say he's listening tone?
Yeah. A?
A plus.
9 out of 10.
9.5 out of 10. No, I think along with Gerds, a D, maybe a 4 out of 10. I think purely for their results only. I think he's definitely part of the change that's going to happen in Brisbane. I think it's, as he said to us when we just chatted to him 15 minutes ago, just have patience if you're a Broncos fan. Just have patience. It's going to be a slow build, but I think Kevvy's the man for the job.
I'm going to give him a C-.
Okay.
Because I think he inherited that roster and he's had to live with it. And I think he's doing his best up there. And it's a big job. And the next few weeks, as he mentioned, the next few weeks can be crucial for that club because they're going to make some big changes, but C minus for me.
All right. Now, the club, obviously, that yet to register a win. Bulldogs' Trent Barrett was the signing as coach. Reedy, what are you marking him?
Yeah, again, he's an look, I'm going to give him a D because I gave Kevy a C minus and Kevy won a game and Trent hasn't won a game. And I think Trent's going to be a really good coach for a long time in this game and at that club. But, and again, he inherited that roster or largely inherited it. But, yeah, they haven't won a game. They mightn't win a game this year, Canterbury.
Wow. That's a terrible stat.
It's a D as well. And, you know, Baz has been, I guess, responsible for bringing a few people to that club over the last sort of 12 months. So, you know, Corey Arrolin and Kyle Flanagan and the like. So, Nick Kotrick. So, you know, need to make sure that those decisions that he made are the right ones. Probably a little bit too early to tell. Yeah. But I'd say he'd be a little bit nervous about some of those decisions and the money spent on some of those recruitment in those areas. In saying that... yeah, they haven't won a game, and I'm not sure when they will. So it's a D for me.
All right, MG.
D minus. 2.5 out of 10, I think. It's all the reasons the boys said, the inherited roster. But I had these guys just missing out in the eight this year, and I thought there was going to be a vast improvement. I thought that with young Flanagan going there, and I thought he would be just perfectly positioned for Trent Barrett to do like a Nathan Cleary on him, a complete overhaul of their attacking structures. And the coach has got to take some of the blame for their losses. It's the worst Dogs team in a long time historically. So the coach has to take some of them barbs. Not all of them, for sure, not all of them. Because they've still got a team that's competitive, and they're probably being competitive against the Doggies tonight. But, yeah, it's a long win. It's a long road for these guys, and I hope they win their first game soon. I just hope they break that duck and... because it's a shocking feeling they're going through. It's shocking.
Mm. Love watching Wayne Bennett. Love listening to him. He can be slightly taciturn. There's not a lot to say.
It's an understatement.
What is it? Taciturn? Mm.
Taciturn, yeah.
What's that mean?
Well, he speaks one-word answers. Basically, it means being very short in conversation. So he does that kind of stuff. Yet then when he's talking about Latrell Mitchell and what happened at the judiciary with him, he is off he goes. He's even asking himself questions and answering them. It's quite amazing.
Well, this is the misnomer about Wayne, right? Because everyone thinks he doesn't talk and he's very short and abrupt with the media. But when Wayne's interested in the subject and it's something he wants to get out there, he's very expansive.
Yeah.
You know, you can text Wayne if it's something he cares about and wants to talk about. He'll call you back and you'll have a long chat to him and he'll give you great stuff. I don't necessarily agree with him on the judiciary because, you know, I think what gets overlooked with Luttrell and what has constantly been overlooked with this issue is Luttrell had loading, and the loading was why he got 4 weeks. And, you know, obviously it was a grade two, I think, from memory, and that comes with 2 weeks. But the loading's what killed him.
But what was the loading for, Reedy?
Well, it was for other previous offences.
Yeah, but what? Yeah. They're in the same game. Were they in the same game?
No, from previous
games.
Yeah, points that accrued.
And again, if it had been the same game, I would have had an issue because I don't think he should have got charged for those other two offences. For me, they were just what they call concerning acts where the NRL sends you a letter and says, you did this, be careful next time. For me, I wouldn't have fined him over those other two offences. I would have just sent him a concerning act. But I don't have an issue with a grade two for what he did because I thought it was reckless and a bit careless and it could have gone awry. But
so Wayne thinks it should have been a grade one, thinks it should have been a fine, is basically what he's saying. He said in his 35 years as a coach, he'd never seen a player treated more unfairly. Now, I think he's also talking about the perception of how people, you know, think of Luttrell when he's playing. And, you know, I tend to think you're right. I mean, the clubs agreed to this system where there was a point that they know what you're going to get. So if you decide to challenge, you know you're going to get another week on it. So you can't say, oh, gee, it's unfair.
You know what I find funny about that story, though? So the journo Wayne spoke to, Paul Crawley, he was one of the blokes who went heavy on Luttrell and said he was need to clean his act up or he's going to cost South Sydney games. So he was one of the blokes who basically had a shot at Luttrell.
Yep.
And Wayne's done an expansive interview with him saying, oh, people are unfair on Luttrell.
Yeah.
He does get I feel a bit for Luttrell, right? Because Luttrell does get he's been a bit loose on the field at times in recent years. But he does get highlighted a lot because he's such a big personality and a big player in the game. And that He's not his Pat Malone there. No. There's a lot of guys who are
playing on
big
the edge.
Figures, but big figures in the game who, because they're big figures, you know, they get paid a lot of money and they're superstars, they get more attention. That's what happens. It's par for the course.
MG, you never had any experience with the judiciary, quite clearly. what did you make of that 4 weeks?
Let me first have a qualifier as kids at home, 34 weeks on the sideline in my career. Don't do what Uncle Mark did. I don't know. Look, I do have a problem with the loading and the carryovers and the double demerits and all that type of stuff that we're – it gets confusing. Like, if someone can be penalised from something they've done 11 months ago, I don't think that's right. Mm. I don't think that's right. I think repeat offenders – if they're repeat offenders and they keep doing it, a la Jack Hetherington got penalised because, of, you know, he's played 27 first-grade games and he's been charged 5 times. So the judiciary are going to catch up with you if you keep offending. But I don't know about – I don't know why we can't start each season with a clean sheet and then, you know, be obviously it's every – then every case would be kind of, you know, sanctioned on its merits. I just find it very hard because we're going to see guys missing out on grand finals for something they've done in September the year before. I don't know how far they go back, Reedy.
I think it's 2 years or what, a year. We review this every year. We only made changes to the system a year or two ago.
I like MG's idea of the double demerit. So if you have high tackle during the holidays, it's twice as many points.
So this weekend, if you do something on Anzac Day, you're out for 12 weeks.
Exactly.
I see what you're saying, MG, but the issue there would be that if someone does something in the grand final and finals week and you scrub it off and they start next year afresh, then during the year you've had a guy who might have done something in round 4 and he gets pinged extra if he does it again in round 10. It's like you're treating that situation differently. They're trying to get some consistency there, but it's impossible because when you've got humans looking at a video one day and then they look at something else, another incident, five, they look at it differently. Yeah. You can't help it. That's human nature.
But I think the way that the Victor Radley thing was handled – the sanction was handled was more accurate because, I mean, he was penalised on the day, in the moment, and the beneficiary was the team that they were playing against. And I think for a small incident like we see with Luttrell, if the guys want to be consistent in the middle of the field and the referees, we've got people up in the box viewing all these situations.
What, are you saying the hit on Nofaluma was a small incident?
Yes, I am saying it's a small incident, yeah. And I'm saying that he probably should have got 10 minutes in the bin. That way the Tigers in a game like that are the beneficiaries and we don't have a guy that's leading the Dally Ams and one of the main draw cards in our game spending 4 weeks on the sideline for a little incident like that. So yes, I'm calling it a little incident, Tone.
Okay. So he's out of it.
You don't think it's a little incident?
I think he hit him in the head and I think even though he might not have been looking, I think he knew exactly where his head was.
I think there's certain parts of his game that he needs to clean up.
Absolutely. But, well, I think it is, and it's unfortunate given you mentioned he was leading the Dally M because now he's no longer qualified for that because he's missed more than 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So he goes and he'll come back, with 2 weeks to go before Origin. So that will also be a race against time
but
for him.
Gertz, we talk about, you know, the game doesn't need to have its superstars on the sideline, but you know what? It doesn't matter. If you do the wrong thing, it doesn't matter whether you are Luttrell Mitchell or you're a reserve grader playing for Canterbury. You've got to be consistent with the punishment. And, you know, he needs to miss footy. If he's done the wrong thing and he gets charged and he's found guilty, then I don't care whether it's Luttrell or some bloke playing, you know.
And what's more, Benji Marshall comes in and is fantastic.
Yeah, exactly. They don't need him anyway.
How did the judiciary talk about you getting laying one of the doggies again, their reserve grade team? My goodness, you're hard on the Bulldogs, really?
Come on,
wow. Yeah. Even the breaks, you know.
He's a great man,
Adam.
Bass. Doing a great job.
What about the idea from Wayne that the judiciary should be...
Really, I get it, but four weeks for that. Like, seriously. However it gets to 4 weeks...
Well, then we need to revisit the loading. That's the issue. We've got to revisit the loading and decide whether we want to change the system again.
Do we put the judiciary on the telly? Wayne wants that. He says they're not accountable. They are accountable. I mean, their decision is accountable, obviously.
Well,
South
are putting together a review of the system, their own review, and they're going to put forward some suggestions for the NRL. And one of the suggestions they're going to make is that Jeff Ballew, who's the chairman of the judiciary, actually has a say because at the moment he just presides over the hearing. He doesn't actually have a say in what happens. And they're going to put forward that he should have a say in it. And also they're going to say that loading should reduce the demerit points for dangerous contract have gone up. So obviously 100 points, you miss a game, right? Mm-hmm. So don't you get more, the points have gone up to stop players doing it. But they're going to say that as a consequence of that, the loading should reduce. Mm. So, you know, if you get 50% for a similar offence, it should drop to 20%, which would have meant Latrell only got 2 weeks, I think. Right. Off the top of my head. So that's a couple of proposals. I'm not sure where it'll go.
You listen to the Saturday's Scrum. We do it thanks to King G.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.